Good morning. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today is Juneteenth. That is June 19, 2024. And the Lord has a message for you that ties into what today's is as well as what's in your spirit today. God wants to keep you in His perfect freedom. The scripture is coming from Galatians 5, verse 1. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong in that freedom and don't go back into slavery again. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of His holy word. The title for the message today is just simply Juneteenth. Juneteenth. I just want you to know that we have freedom. Yes, we do. And with that freedom, our identity is with the triune God who says, I am. I am. I am. On this day, June 19th, the moon itself is still in the waxing gibbous phase. It's getting bigger and it's becoming larger enough to become, it's between half moon and full moon. The moon is only 13 days old and it is 92% illuminated. Yes, I am. The word tells us, for you have been called to freedom, my brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for yourself, but through love, serve others. Juneteenth today marks freedom for all slaves in America, because freedom is not available to everyone, but they must know that they have the freedom. Free versus not free. According to artificial intelligence, when I looked it up, it views a free person having autonomy over their own life and making their own decisions. They aren't beholders to external forces dictating their path. An occupied person or a person that's still enslaved, on the other hand, has their autonomy restricted or even stripped away. Their choices aren't fully their own due to outside control and influences. So today, June 19th, as we go back in time, back to 1865, that was the day that all people in the United States, including formerly enslaved, were officially granted freedom. However, it wasn't until June 17th of 2021 that our president, Joe Biden, signed a bill into law making the day known as Juneteenth on a federal level a national holiday. He stated, great nations don't ignore their most painful moments. They don't even ignore those moments of the past. They embrace them. Great nations don't walk away. We come to terms with the mistakes we've made, and in remembering those moments, we begin to heal and grow stronger. Amen. So as you embrace the I am for you today, I'm telling you, don't ignore your most painful moments. As you embrace the I am, don't walk away. Come to terms with the mistakes that you've made. As you embrace the I am in remembering those moments, begin the process to heal and to grow stronger. See, half free won't do. Just like half salvation won't do. Only 100% will do. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have dutifully convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Often, lost is the story of the ancestors and the elders who kept this history going by acknowledging the day even when the larger society wouldn't acknowledge it. But Juneteenth didn't become important because it became a national holiday, and it didn't become important until 2020 after the unfortunate murder of George Floyd. It has always been important to the former enslaved and their descendants. Well, looking at freedom, the I Am, Frederick Douglass gave a speech on this. The 4th of July is yours. It's not mine. You may rejoice, but I sit and mourn. 4th of July was founded on the idea of freedom created by a group of men who either believed that rightly owned black people or were not willing to stand up to the atrocities of slavery in the United States. And as former First Lady Michelle Obama reminded us in her most powerful 2016 DNC speech, it was the enslaved who built the White House, a residence that represents not only the president, but American democracy and freedom. Not recognizing Juneteenth erase these historical facts, glossing over the racist ideas and policies that were integral to funding our nation. Furthermore, everyone isn't free because on January 1, in 1863, ahead of the third year of the Civil War, that president that we had back then, President Abraham Lincoln, signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which declared all enslaved people in the Confederate States, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia were free. But Lincoln's executed order did not fully abolish slavery in the United States, as it didn't apply to those held in as property in bordering states who were loyal to the Union. Free, half free is not all free. The 4th of July can't be celebrated by descendants of the enslaved because their ancestors were not only property, not human, and still enslaved. The 4th of July is a painful reminder of the descendants of the enslaved. So I encourage everyone to go and purchase the book. You can even get it on digital. The Cost of Being African American in the United States. When I was in my first year of my residency, I recognized the differences in medical treatment, those who trust and not trust medical, and the differences based on patients' life experiences. See, in this book, Racial Prejudice in America has declined significantly, and many African American families have seen a steady rise in employment and annual income. But alongside these encouraging signs, the author argues the hidden cost of being black. Fundamental levels of racial inequality still persist, particularly in the areas of asset accumulation, inheritance, savings accounts, stocks, bonds, home equity, and other investment. The author reveals how the lack of these families' assets, along with continuing racial discrimination in crucial areas like home ownership, dramatically impact the everyday lives of many black families, reverse gains earned in school and on jobs, and the perpetuating the cycle of poverty in which far too many find themselves still trapped today. Using a combination of in-depth interviews with almost 200 families from LA, Boston, St. Louis, and national survey data with 10,000 families to show how racial inequality is transmitted across the generations. We see how these families with private wealth are able to move up from generation to generation, relocating to safer communities with better schools and passing along the accompanying advantages to their children. At the same time, those whose significant wealth remain trapped in communities that don't allow them to move up, no matter how hard they work. The author challenges white middle-class families to consider how privilege the wealth brings not only improve their own chances, but also hold back people who don't have it. The welfare is a legacy in the equality that, if unchanged, will project social injustice far into the future. Ensuring over half of black families still fall below the asset poverty level at the beginning of the new century. See, the hidden cost of being black will challenge all Americans to reconsider what must be done to end racial inequality. This is not the I am the liberation that Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen? Free can't be half. Religion is half as it segregates. Spirituality is free as it addresses areas where people are falling short so they can be totally redeemed, reconciled, restored, restituted, and resoluted. Amen? As we Americans move onward from our pains, our mistakes, and seek reconciliation, the Bible strongly addresses this in great extent. Our go-to includes Philemon chapter 1, which encourages people to see past the labels and embrace each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that true freedom is about recognizing shared humanity and spiritual kinship. Our go-to is also Galatians 3, emphasizing the unity and the equality of all believers in Christ, which is a message that's relevant to Juneteenth's meaning. Our other go-to is Psalm 78, verses 1 through 72, a teaching psalm that shows how gracious God has been in the past, and that learning history's lessons can help people avoid repeating them. So let's remember, for one who has died has been set free from sin. In looking at history in our own life, to truly receive the I am that Jesus is talking about, we must acknowledge the injustices perpetrated both historically and presently, and we must celebrate advances in freedom. Romans 12 verse 9 tells us to abhor what is evil. We must have an vehement dislike for hate, which is evil. And chattel slavery, oh my God, and systemic injustices are evil. That's why we have so many different shades of brown, because of chattel slavery. The most famous quotes I leave you with: struggle is never ending process. Freedom is never really won. You earn it and win it in every generation. Coretta Scott King. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. Frederick Douglass. You can't separate peace from from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedom. Malcolm X. My humanity is bound up in yours, for we can only be human together. Desmond Tutu. Slavery is theft, and theft of a life, theft of work, theft of any property or prejudice, theft even to the children a slave might have borne. That's Kevin Bales. There are still those many causes worth sacrificing for. So much history yet to be made. Michelle Obama. Half won't make whole, and whole is never half. That's my. And then also Dr. Martin Luther King. If the cruelties of slavery could not stop us, the opposition we now face would surely fail, because the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned, though we may have our destinies tied up with Americans' destiny. So there we are. Juneteenth. Half will never be whole, and whole will never be half. To God be the glory. Ogunnefa Oluwa Almighty La Rabbi Selah.